The 1900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Again, patreon.com/1900wrestling. If there was ever a time to do it, ladies and gentlemen, it is literally right now on the road to WrestleMania. We have WrestleMania weekend, not but a couple weeks away. We have Strong Style Evolved in Long Beach, and I'm going to say that right now, our Discord, which you can only be a part of if you are a patron to 1900 Wrestling, therefore creating a passionate barrier to entry that allows only people who really want to have discussions about the stuff that is happening live. Oh, is it the best place to be? And it's going to be the best place to be on WrestleMania weekend. Do yourself a favor, friends. And get on over there right now, patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for 1900 Wrestling. And, you know, normally what happens is we excuse ourselves for not being on our normal Monday time slot. But I believe now, more than ever, that there is a divining hand that is guiding us. And, of course, my tag team partner, Willie Dills Gregory, This was divine providence that we did not do a show on Monday, because it is better that we are doing a show on Wednesday after quite possibly two of the best editions of WWE programming back-to-back in recorded history, right?
Yeah, dude. I mean, everyone's talking about it. He's back. Big cast cleared to come back. WWE competition. It's amazing.
Did you read the first line on that, on the WWE press release for that? Was
for the big cast one?
Yeah. After
something about, yeah, it was severing ties with Enzo, Carmella,
and his ACL.
And his ACL. Yeah.
That was
not bad. But yeah, no, there is bigger news. There's bigger things going on. Look, even bigger than the 7 foot tall big cast, and you can't teach that.
No, you cannot.
Holy crap. We weren't even talking about this as like a thing that was going to happen, right?
All right. So obviously we're going to start and spend a lot of our time with Daniel Bryan. We will get into the Ultimate Deletion because I think that's the other side of it, is that the Ultimate Deletion delivered. You know, against any and all possibilities of I think rightfully worried that WWE had watered down that character and he was just this like weird laugh gimmick. Like, no, we got every inch of bizarreness out of what we would want from something like the Ultimate Deletion. We'll get to that. But let's start with the story, the number one story. And we'll start here. Prior to yesterday, Willie, if you were to give a percentage on what percentage there would be that Daniel Bryan would ever wrestle in the WWE again, what would you give it prior to yesterday?
I mean, even with rumors that somehow he was going to be involved in the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shane McMahon thing, even though that was heavily teased, I was still like, I don't know, 10% that he would. I thought for sure that the story was going to be WWE never clears him. And then at a certain point, he just wants to wrestle so bad, he goes on and he goes back to Ring of Honor or goes to New Japan or something like that. And that's where, and I would have said like 90% that he wrestles again.
Yeah.
But in WWE, no, like super small, 10%.
Certainly something that he has not been shy about, right? Saying that he was growing his hair out so we could do a hair versus hair match in CMLL. And he was very vocal about the idea that he was not just a guy. He was a wrestling asset that was either going to be used in WWE or he would make himself useful in another company because he felt that his health was in the right position, you know, that he had gotten enough clearances. So this storyline-wise, he has remained relevant. He has an ongoing feud with The Miz, who's on another show right now.
Which absolutely is like the next step. Like, I think we'll see something at WrestleMania finishing off this whole Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing. But yeah, The Miz has got to be like lined up for next, right?
Well, I mean, just look at what that roster is now. In the two years since he retired, WWE has spent a large part of that time trying to fill a Daniel Bryan-sized hole. And they've brought in the Finn Balors. They brought in the AJ Styles. They brought in all these guys that are designed to be high work rate, indie, smark fan-friendly kinds of talents like Daniel Bryan. Proved to be very successful for them. And now he gets to wrestle with all of them. He gets to wrestle with Samoa Joe. He gets to wrestle with, any and everybody else that comes out of the woodwork.
I mean, people were already, if you look at, by the way, the thread on R-Squared Circle is the number one post of all time at this point now. The Daniel Bryan return thread. The excitement is through the roof here. But people were already listing off, you know, Nakamura, which like a lot of people had talked about. That was one of the reasons maybe Nakamura even wanted to come to WWE in the first place.
Yeah.
Was a match with Daniel Bryan. You got AJ Styles, obviously. You got your Finn Balors. You got, you know, a lot of people that crossed paths many years ago when they were much younger and hadn't built up quite the reputations they have now. And now to have them clash either for the first time or again after many years. Super, like every single one of these is like blockbuster WrestleMania level match. Right?
And that's the difference. The difference between Daniel Bryan being an active wrestler and not in WWE specifically is that now Shinsuke Nakamura, Shinsuke is going to fight AJ at WrestleMania, and I'd be shocked if he's anywhere between the third to last. Yeah, if he cracks. If that match cracks third to last on the WrestleMania card, it will be a shock, right? And that's no slight to them. It's just that the star power above them is that much greater, right?
Yeah. And that match is going to be amazing, even though apparently AJ Styles is legitimately hurt right now.
Sure.
But he's got 3 weeks to not be on TV wrestling, and he's not going to do all his normal flopping around and stuff like that. But apparently he says he will be ready. So.
But here's the difference. With Daniel Bryan, any of those guys can be the last match on the card.
Oh, yeah.
AJ versus Daniel Bryan can be the last match on the card. Shinsuke, Finn, they can all be the last match on the card because Daniel Bryan is a superstar, and he has already main evented a WrestleMania. And that's what you're really talking about when you're looking at, okay, well, how do you crack the card that has The Undertaker and Cena on it? How do you crack the card that already has Triple H and Kurt Angle on it? These are all guys who have main evented before, and that's to have a main eventer, and now you have it. You have that guy in Daniel Bryan. So he comes out.
The yes chant last night when he comes out was insane. And at that point, you know, I'm sure a lot of the crowd kind of knew what was happening, but that was before he actually said it out loud. But there was, you know, tweets and announcements, WWE app. Did you get the alert on the WWE app? Because that's what I got. It was actually just like I'd never get these very often, but it just happened. It was like Daniel Bryan medically cleared for competition. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm watching SmackDown now.
I'll be very curious to see what the ratings were last night, because that was.
Seriously.
I mean, that's why they do it and don't make it a storyline surprise, is because, you know, ratings, dog. They're trying to.
It was even still like the moment being told to me beforehand and things like that. Him actually coming out. And then, obviously, the first in-ring action they're going to have is him just getting the crap beat out of him.
Well, let's get to that. So he does come out. He gives a very tearful, speech about how hard it was to be away, how much he fought for it, how much he owes to his wife, Brie Bella. to say that as much as you are grateful, you still need to fight for your career. And that's what he's done. How much WWE thanks WWE for, you know, allowing him to kind of retry his case, as it were.
Sure.
And then, well, here, hold on. Well, let's pause there before we get into the kayfabe of it all. Here's my take, and I will love to hear the inside machinations of exactly how all this went down and for how long this has been in progress. But my guess on Daniel Bryan, and this is what it's always been, is that clearing him specifically, and it'll be very curious to see how they use him going forward, because I think he could probably stand to be closer to Triple H than AJ Styles at point.
I agree. I don't think you have him out there doing headbutt spots with Dolph Ziggler anytime soon, right? Like
Or it's like, hey, look, him getting powerbombed on the apron in Dallas on a SmackDown, okay. I don't know if we're going to see him at the show that you were at in Cedar Park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He will not be at house shows. He will, yeah.
Now, maybe.
He'll be on TV,
he'll
be at pay-per-view.
But he's that kind of guy where he might want to be like, oh, look, either I'm full-time or I'm not. Although, who knows? Again, that'll be curious. What I've always thought about WWE's position is that this is more about future lawsuits and current lawsuits than it is about Daniel Bryan. It's about when we put our foot down and say you can't wrestle, that means you can't wrestle because we are determining through our liability that that's not going to happen. And so that way, when anybody comes out and says, oh, well, they made me wrestle hurt. Oh, they made me, you know, now I'm going to seek damages for something. Then that's not the case. Because, look, when we say you can't go, period, end of story. Look at Daniel Bryan. We killed one of our biggest stars in his prime at this highest earning potential because we cared about safety that much.
Sure.
So,
no, I mean, it's true. It's absolutely like a little bit of a safety feather in the cap for them, right?
Yes. Like, now. Yeah,
the money doesn't matter as much as the human.
I think that's the reason why. You are going to see, if Daniel Bryan's on Good Morning America, he's going to have six neurologists behind him, right, to plug WrestleMania. Because they want...
More than anything, though, I feel like what he needs to do, he just needs to be a little bit careful about the style that he wrestles, because obviously we love to see him do just what he does, right? But he could really go... This could be part of his character now, is that, you know, he's tailored his style now to, you know, take care of his body a little bit. He goes back to being more of a submission specialist. He does a lot, you know, still a lot of the like energetic stuff and things like that, but not so much the back, like the super back bump he takes when he does his drop kicks off the top rope. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where he just like, he landed flat on his back every single time he did that. And like that kind of stuff is jarring to the skull, no matter where you take the bump, even if it's on the back, right? So it's like that kind of stuff. Still with the suicide dive, still the yes kicks, still all that stuff. But tone it down on the leaping headbutts. Tone it down on the drop kicks from the top rope.
To be
like,
fair,
things like that.
I've always thought the diving headbutt's stupid.
Like, what's wrong with an elbow from up there?
Yeah, I just always felt that there's better ways to inflict pain than a diving headbutt.
Yeah, freaking head. So, yeah, I'd like to see a little bit of that going on, but you're right. He might be the kind of guy who says, no, man, I just want to be a wrestler again. Like, that's what I wanted to do, right? And so let me do it. But he also, I mean, look, he worked for years in the indies where his schedule was closer to what it would be if he decided to just be, you know, on SmackDown each week and then on the pay-per-view, right? Rather than every freaking house show in between. So,
well, and I think that's the question. People are like, oh, well, who's going to be the new GM? Who's going to be the new? Well, I guess Shane's the GM and I guess he's the commissioner. But like, I wouldn't be shocked if he stays in that role, in that authority role, and maybe even rolls to Raw or something like that. But I think that's a really good spot for him where you can dust him off. He's on television every week, he can get involved physically. And you know, you dust him off when you need him, but he's not just a guy unless you want to put a title run on him, right?
Sure.
Like, I think
you will at some point.
You know, I'll tell you what, that'll be a real question. But all right, here, so let's get into the storyline. He comes out. Of course, this is in the wake of Shane McMahon being assaulted after resigning himself as a GM of SmackDown. He was assaulted by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn backstage. The power bomb on the equipment in the back takes him to the hospital. He has some gobbledygook injuries, according to the update today or yesterday on the show. But Daniel Bryan comes out and fires Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, leaving them very angry and in need of physical retribution. The beatdown ensues, and I gotta say, I was not prepared for how little ring rust Daniel Bryan had. Like,
yeah,
he was fast. He was so good. It was like seeing an old friend. I was like, oh, that's what you look like. I forgot that's what you looked like. You're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did the. He did the running, like, kick into the corner that he somersaults out of, and it looked awesome. Yeah, and the whole time, you had to think a little bit, though, like, oh, God, like, don't get hurt right now on the first thing you do, because they kind of went for it. It wasn't like they held back at all. I mean, powerbomb on the apron is kayfabe career ending, potentially, right?
And well, I mean, it was
not kayfabe. That's a hard bump, man. That's not, you can't really fake how hard that spot of the ring is right there.
It is indeed the hardest part of the ring, as we all know. I almost wish that I don't have a problem with that powerbomb spot there.
Sure.
I almost wish that they would have protected that spot a little bit more over the last few years, because I think he's used that a fair amount and people have come right back out the week afterward.
Yeah, Sammy was out for months when it first happened.
Exactly.
Right?
That was one of those, like, oh no, Kevin Owens is, you know, this is his Harry Potter kill people spell,
sure.
Right? Like, this is the thing that just knocks people out forever. And I think that that's what you should be feeling when on Daniel Bryan's big homecoming, when everybody is thrilled, they instantly microwave the reason why he's going to be in a WrestleMania match by, you know, having these two hooligans try to end his career.
Yeah, this also makes a lot of sense if you think about it as a way to kind of protect him until WrestleMania, right? You could keep him off TV essentially as far as wrestling action and just have him do the promo stuff with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And then here he comes out on WrestleMania. You don't have to have him wrestle the entire 3 weeks leading up to it. Right. So the whole thing all makes sense. It was just cool to see him do stuff immediately.
Yes.
But now the anticipation for this match is through the friggin' roof, dude.
I mean, it's, I mean,
I'm curious how they're separating these people out, though, because Daniel Bryan is not necessarily on Team Shane here. So,
So what I initially thought they were going for was a four corners match, because the match for WrestleMania was Kevin versus Sammy. And so then you could just add Daniel Bryan, you can add Shane, right? And now Shane and Daniel get to fight with each other and everybody gets their spots, yada, yada, yada.
I think that's where we're headed. Yeah.
I don't know though. Now that
they still haven't fully broken up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
See, that's the thing is that now I think it's going to be I'm leaning more toward tag team.
Sure. At the house show that I did go to, by the way, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn still paired up even off TV, right? They're fully friends. Like, they're not even, there's a little bit of tension there, but they're basically fully together still at this point. So,
which is probably more accurate to their actual friendship, right?
Sure. It's funny because you think about the Kevin Owens Jericho stuff, like the moment anything happened between them, that was it. Right. But now, like, they've brawled each other at this point.
Yeah.
They've haluva kicked each other. They've done all sorts of stuff to each other. And yet they still come out the next week like, we're still buddies. which is kind of cool. I kind of like seeing that type of relationship on TV. And this is, they're, I think, the perfect type of foil for Daniel Bryan to come back to, because they're so freaking good.
Yes.
In chat, actually, just now, Day Dove says, Kevin and Sammy are so damn safe, though. It's true, man. Like, these guys have been doing this for years. They don't have a reputation as hurting people, right? Non-kayfabe, anyway. Kevin Owens definitely hurts people.
Yeah.
According to the storylines. But, like, yeah, these guys, these are the right guys to work with right now when you're first coming off, right? Like, you don't want to be in there with someone like, I don't know, Baron Corbin, who's still pretty green or something like that. You want to be in there with old pros.
Also, they're the first of the dream matches that we really would want to see. I mean, look, Kevin Owens wasn't even in WWE at the time that Daniel Bryan won at WrestleMania 30. I think that, were they in?
I think Sami Zayn was in NXT, but he was still at the beginning of his run.
Was Sammy in that Intercontinental ladder match? Or was that the next year? No.
I don't think so.
When Daniel Bryan won in the San Francisco WrestleMania.
Yeah, which was the year after, right?
That was the year after, and that was his last big title win.
Yeah.
In that ladder match. But I don't think... No, because you want to know what? That was the first NXT live show that they did at WrestleMania, pre-takeovers, on the road. And I was at that show. Kevin Owens came out as the champion, and Sami Zayn talked some jive to him.
Yeah, because that was 31, right? That you're talking in San Francisco?
31, yeah.
Yeah, because it was New Orleans. The last time they're in New Orleans was Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Yeah. Was WrestleMania 30. So that's who was in that 31?
Right, who was in that 31 Intercontinental ladder match? Because I know that
I remember Dean Ambrose for sure.
Dean Ambrose went through the ladder.
He took the ladder spot,
the crazy ladder
on
spot
on the outside.
I know that Luke Harper was in it. I know that Stardust was in it.
Yeah, there was that was a good ass match, by the way.
It was good.
Let's see. So R-Truth, Luke Harper, Stardust, Dolph Ziggler, Dean Ambrose, Bad News Barrett, and Daniel Bryan.
Wow. So, yeah. So, either of those guys were on the main roster at the time that he had his final big win. We've never seen him wrestle them in WWE. This is a dream match, ladies and gentlemen.
It really is. It really is.
This is going to be amazing. By the way, this is the most loaded WrestleMania card I can remember in paying back attention to wrestling. I mean, this is top to bottom an insane card. Just bonkers, bananas. Everybody's where you want them to be.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty epic this year. By the way, we haven't talked about plans for WrestleMania. We have to figure out some sort of co-stream thing here.
We will. Yeah, we'll have some kind of announcement in the forthcoming future. I hope at the very least to basically just I've alerted my wife that I'm literally just quarantining off the apartment for wrestling nerds.
This is going to be WrestleZone Central now.
I'm just going to buy everything. It'll be cheaper than going to New Orleans. So it's like I'm literally just going to get the Ring of Honor streaming service. I mean, a lot of the stuff is going to be free on Twitch. We'll be watching there. It's going to be amazing. There will be much wrestling streamed. And then, of course, WrestleMania will be just insane. All right, so Daniel Bryan, any other final Daniel Bryan thoughts before we move on to the other big news of the week?
To be honest, you know, it's there's 11 matches right now on the card at WrestleMania, and that's before they've even put in the Kevin Owens, Sammy stuff. I'm thinking now if Daniel Bryan's involved, basically this shoots up the card, right? This is now.
I mean, but where do you put it? It can't be.
No.
You know exactly where to put it. That's the first match of the card.
Okay,
that's,
sure.
That's how you want to start
it out with a bang. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you start with Daniel Bryan's theme music.
Okay. WrestleMania opens with Daniel Bryan theme music.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a match without a title, but it's got gigantic heat. And remember, that's how they open WrestleMania last year. Wait, did they open with Jericho or with Shane and AJ?
Well, pre-show.
Well, pre-show.
Yeah, I think it was Jericho.
Well, right? Yeah. No.
Actually,
pre-show,
it was Shane and AJ, wasn't it?
Pre-show was Cruiserweight, the Andre Battle Royal, and Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin, I believe.
That's right, yeah. Dean Ambrose was on the pre-show with the Intercontinental title at the time, too, which was weird. Let's see. Pre-show. AJ Styles, yep.
AJ
Styles was the opening theme.
Was the opener. So that was the Shane match. The Shane match, yeah. A good match to open with, specifically if it's a returning Daniel Bryan. Oh, my God. What a revelation, ladies and gentlemen. But speaking of revelations and premonitions, how about the ultimate deletion? Have you fully grokked the fact that we saw what we saw on WWE television?
So I didn't watch it live, and I didn't watch the full edit. I watched kind of a truncated version of it, right? Because basically I was just trying to catch up on all the wrestling that was going on at the time.
Sure. Understood.
Because that Monday, when that happened, I was at a house show in Cedar Park.
You were out the SmackDown.
Yeah, it was like the SmackDown roster. They're calling it Road to WrestleMania. It was a fantastic show. Highly recommend anybody, if that is coming to your town. We got tickets for like $30. Then we ended up just never even going to our seats. We just sat. Me and Trey just sat at the top area of the HEB Center, where there's like one real bar in the HEB Center, and it was right behind where we were sitting, and like there's just these seats that aren't sold, and they're just kind of there. And so we just hung out there the whole time, and great vantage point, awesome card, like, you know, amazing show put together. And I was texting you a bunch of stuff the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
If people think that indie wrestlers don't want to come and get lost in the mid-card, it's like they don't understand what they're doing the rest of the time.
All right, explain your revelation there.
Well, so we were just watching, like, you know, the freaking one of the colognes comes out, right? Who he's been a million different characters, right? Since they were the Colognes.
Los Matadores, the Shining Stars.
And then there was timeshare salesman for Puerto Rico, right? It's, you know, and people are like, oh, but these guys are really good. And here's the thing. He's wrestling in front of, I mean, there was, I don't know, 8,000 to 10,000 people there, something like that. I mean, it was a good crowd on a Monday night in Cedar Park. And they're putting on, you know, a six-man tag match, and they're getting big pops, and they're having fun, and they're doing good matches, and they're probably getting paid very well to do it. So these guys are not lost in the mid-card the way I think a lot of us think they are, because we only know about it on television, right?
Well, I mean, look,
a vet hall, he's working, you know, friggin' the HEB Center on a Monday, right? So.
And there's definitely different ways to look at it, and not taking anything away from anybody, but at the end of the day, if you are not going to understand that a lot of these guys are willing to work for 16 people in a high school gym,
sure,
300 people in a stadium where you don't have to go sell your own merch at the end of the night, not the worst thing in the world, right?
No. Yeah, it's. I mean, and they're working with some of the other best wrestlers in the world too. It's not like they're just figuring out the card and then showing up at the show and then, okay, what are we doing tonight? It's like, no, they've got history with these guys. They're all professionals. They all work together. Like, yeah, they don't have to sew their own gear. They don't have to, you know what I mean? Just all those things put together. If they get hurt, there's doctors backstage, like good ones, you know.
Yeah.
And the ring is put together really well, and the ropes aren't weird and loose, and it's, you know, the world of wrestling for them is not sad like some people might think it is, because they're not holding some indie belt, right? And they're not the top draw in the middle of America,
sure,
in a gym, right? So anyway, it was like kind of a revelation to see that. I've been to a lot of house shows already, but this was a really, really good one, and it was like all the star power was there. So except for AJ Styles, legitimately hurt, but we saw Nakamura. It's like, it was great, man.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. But anyway, so I did watch Ultimate Deletion.
All right.
And you were right. It had all the stuff, right? This was kind of the big introduction of the entire world.
Yes.
To me. And we are aware of all of these things. So it was a little weird just having them throw them all in, right? It was kind of like they're like, just all of it in one thing. Here's all the people. I'm going to call them out by name. And now you know who they are. But this was like step one, right? I mean, we got big moments. We had a fun match. We had the fireworks with Vanguard One, Senior Benjamin. It was great.
Yeah, the Boomstick Protocol was indeed initiated. Look, the fact that we got everything that we got from, this bizarre, weird world of Matt Hardy. And it was tonally what I think people really, really wanted, what people really, really expected. That's what shocked me, because part of that entire universe is that things are just wacky and weird. And that they do get into these sort of slapsticky kind of places. They get into these bizarre sort of places. These avant-garde kind of moments are there. That's part of that fabric. And I think what we were hoping wasn't going to happen was that it was going to turn into something a little bit more akin to the House of Horrors or that like New Day Wyatt family thing that they did, where it was more serious in its horror overtones. This is not serious in its horror overtones. There's a drone and a groundskeeper and wacky Scooby-Doo shenanigans, the chair of wheels and the mower of lawns. That's what you want. You want these moments. You want these crazy things. And then the fun part is that you get lost in the woods of its creativity. And now the question, there's a legitimate storyline question. Bray Wyatt disappeared in the lake of reincarnation, which is an insane sentence to say out loud. But like, what does that mean? Now, we don't know. It gives you legitimate storyline questions that we have yet to answer.
He's been deleted. Now, there's a couple things. Like, I do have some criticisms of it.
All right,
because
go ahead.
It was awesome. Like it was kind of what I expected, in a way that was pleasing, right? Like I was like, okay, give me all the things that we need, like, because they've been kind of setting him up, just his character and his promos, but it's just a lot of laughing, right?
Yes.
And they haven't really taken us all the way to the compound and shown us all the characters yet. We've seen Vanguard One, we've seen that kind of stuff. But in this one, you know, we got everything. We got King Maxwell, you know, we got
Lord Wolfgang,
we got all of it, right?
By the way, did you see the Twitter back and forth between Lord Wolfgang and King Maxwell?
No, I did not.
Lord Wolfgang was who's his youngest son. He's like, yeah, you know, I debuted on the main roster. You know, I didn't have to work that indie garbage.
Sure.
And, you know, King Maxwell, who was on some of the TNA Final Deletion stuff, was a bigger part of that because Lord Wolfgang had yet to be born. Was hey, pay your dues, kid. You know, this is the problem with kids like you.
That's
very cute.
Funny, man.
Very cute.
So, I mean, yeah, so we got all that, but it was all just kind of there. And I wonder how that felt for people who aren't familiar with broken Matt Hardy, right? I wonder how that felt for just WWE fans who never watched an episode of Impact, had maybe heard or maybe even hadn't heard of what was going on. And if you watch the storyline just from WWE,
yeah,
and you never knew anything about its inception and where it came from, does this at all make sense to you? Or... because that's the thing that I'm kind of watching. I'm like, this all just is happening.
So
Matt Hardy literally lost a match, and then he just turned into this character.
So
it wasn't like this big buildup where it was the feud with his own brother and things like that that broke him which kind of was the slow burn of the broken universe. The woken universe is just like, I'm crazy and I have a drone now and my wife is named something else. And it's like it's all this stuff is.
But you want to know what? Look, happening. I don't think that anybody watching it is like, oh, I get it now. This all makes sense. But I don't think it matters because it didn't with the TNA stuff. Remember when those first teaser, the first like, Brother Nero, I knew you'd come. Like when that first launched, everybody's like, this is garbage. Matt Hardy is literally just lighting his career on fire, doing nothing. And then it became something that people appreciated because you realize the creativity of it as it continued to go on and on. And that's what I think we have, we have here in front of us is this element of like, let it grow on you, let it continue to be a part of it.
I think that's definitely going to be something they're intentionally trying to recreate a little bit. It seems like garbage, and then eventually you just kind of fall into it, right? Because right now people in our chat are saying like, yeah, it made no sense to me, right? Or people really don't like it because it's forced insanity. And I could see why people might think that because like it seemed like to me in the Impact stuff, it started off being very strange and nobody understood what the hell was happening. But then it like a lot of the other stuff kind of to me felt like it naturally occurred, right? Like it was just like, what's the next thing we can do that's weird? And then that's where like the other characters started to come into play and things like that.
Yeah.
And they kind of happened over time. Whereas here what happened was, oh, by the way, here's a million characters that you didn't know about. And we're going to spring them all on you at once.
Sure.
And then we're going to have a match. There's a ref here at my compound. I don't know why, but he's here.
Oh, he was the week before he was dispatched by Kurt Angle and he was not pleased about it. So we knew why the ref was there.
All right. But then the whole match, and then it's transferring into his garage area where there's another ring, and that's where the chair of wheels is and the mower of lawns, you know, like all that stuff. It is hilarious, but yeah, I could see people just being like, I don't get it. But I think what's going to have to happen is they're going to have to keep doing this. Like they can't let up. They can't let off the gap.
Yeah,
because
here's
I hope WWE doesn't do is give up on it because a few people complain.
Nailed it. The question isn't did you get it? The question is do you want more? And that I think is where they are in a perfect position. Here's why Broken Woken Matt Hardy is such a brilliant idea, because he's a mid-card guy. He's not going to challenge for the title. He didn't in TNA. He didn't need to in TNA. He was the most popular part of that program, and yet you are allowed to keep the rest of the world kind of functioning, and he is just in this bizarre like pocket universe where he can do whatever he wants and all this other stuff exists.
Sure.
But
basically, like what I'm saying is, they need to keep doing stuff like on this scale.
Yes.
So that after a while, like these characters, you just are like, oh yeah, that's Vanguard One. Like, do I know the backstory of him? No, I don't. But now I'm familiar. Like I've seen him interact with Matt Hardy a bunch of times, right?
So yeah,
Senior Benjamin. I've seen him show up all the time. Like, okay, I get it now. And yeah, you might not remember how they came to be.
Yeah,
but now they're just kind of part of your lexicon when you're.
But
watching
also, they kind of don't matter.
Hardy.
I mean, Rebbe Hardy was somebody that you know really didn't like. She the only storyline element that she's had aside from being a combatant in like Delete or Decay was that it seemed like she thought that Matt Hardy had gone crazy initially, and then you found out that she was in on it. Senior Benjamin is literally just a groundskeeper who is preparing the battlefield for massacre.
Things. Yeah.
Right? The other two infant children are just kind of infant children. That's pretty much it.
They're foils for him to talk to, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And so a Tizzle Smash says, it feels like an inside joke. That's because it is. But the question is, not whether it's an inside joke, is whether or not you want to be a part of it. And that's where I think ultimately the charm of that universe lies, in that it's the final artistic form of backyard wrestling. That's what it is. It feels homespun in the way that backyard wrestling does and did, except it's kind of crazy. It's what happens when a backyard wrestler literally has a gigantic compound and access to drones and cameras. Like, that's exactly what it is, and it feels like it, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm into it. I'm a little concerned about how they're just laying it on the WWE universe, right? And I don't know if there was to be completely fair though, I don't know if there was a better way to do it. I don't know if you could ease people into this and have it work the same way too, right? So, but you know, it's like Brother Nero shows up all of a sudden. Oh, wait, now Jeff Hardy's also weird. Like, that's a lot of people are probably like, what the hell, man? So I think I'm a little concerned that Vince is going to be like, it's not working. Oh, it's not working. All right, can you puke? Like, it's going to be, you know, it's just going to get to a situation where he's not going to know what the hell to do, and he might pull the plug, and that worries me. So hopefully they continue to bring the funny. Because, you know, things like Fashion Files, that kind of snuck up on people, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was a little funny, and then all of a sudden, like, the world made some sense, and then people loved it, right?
Yeah.
This is just being, like, smashed on your head right now. And so I hope... And I'm with you, man. I love it. I'm trying to also.
Fashion Files, though. The one thing
has no idea what the hell's happening.
The one thing that the Matt Hardy universe has that the Fashion Files didn't is that they never really found a way to get the Fashion Files stuff in the ring.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Like, they needed to have the Fashion Challenge or something where every week they would come out and challenge somebody new, and now you'd be wondering whether or not how your favorite wrestler or some other favorite wrestler or some old-timer is going to come out and react to these guys. They never found a way to make it physical, where all of the Matt Hardy stuff is always targeted toward, let's have a match, I'll lose the match, but can you beat me at the Hardy compound, right?
Yeah. I'm curious to see the next step. Like, what happens when Bray comes out of that lake, man?
I know, right? And that's the other thing, is that the creativity on that is just so off the charts. It's so fun and it's so bold. And I think that they're conscious of the idea that, like, we've got to have our Brother Nero, I knew you'd come. Each time we need a thing that people are going to say. And that was this time, you know, chair off wheels. Moa of Lawns. So good.
That's the thing. That is the thing. It's like, if you get one weird Matt Hardyism out of each one, it's always going to be kind of worth it, right? So
yeah. Just, oh, God.
Look, I love that. It's, to me, it's very rewatchable stuff as well. Like, I don't ever go back and rewatch Raw or SmackDown. But I am definitely going to go back and watch this again.
It's so fun. It is.
There's a lot going on there.
It is just so great. All right. Tell you what, we are back with our what's it called? Our Melodica challenges. We took a week off. We had the Trey Warren live edition. Which was sloppy.
The memorable Trey Warren live edition.
Memorable Trey Warren live edition. Here is the last edition of the Melodica Challenge. You want to know, I'm glad that we played this, because lost in the shuffle of all the other stuff that's going on in the WWE right now, I'm totally in on Roman versus Brock. I think that they're building that really good. I'm excited to see the match, and I think that they are credibly getting Roman over with the crowd. I've very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's the last segment that they did together was friggin' awesome. Although I will say this, I'm not sure how much I like Roman just elbowing U.S. Marshals in the head.
Yeah.
They could have done with just security guards on that one, I think. But I think they wanted him to be handcuffed and everything, so they went with the U.S. Marshal angle. But I was like, whoa, dude, what?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. whenever I see those kinds of segments, I always make sure to take an extra hard look at everybody that's in those U.S. Marshal outfits, just to be
sure.
Like,
oh, I no, wonder. They're all up and coming wrestlers.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm going to see them on Lucha Underground next season. Yeah, you know, yeah, I wonder if they're going to be in TNA.
Yeah, it was. But dude, it was super fun segment watching Brock just German suplex the hell out of Roman. The crowd freaking loved it. Then of course the comeback five times in a row to keep getting him.
Yeah,
they'd been kind of separated for so long that when they finally got together, it had to be amazing, right? And it friggin' was. So I'm all in on it. I'm not crapping on that match. The internet can do that. I can't wait for it, man.
All right, here is this week's Melodica Challenge. All right, one more time. Well, folks, if you think you know, you can go ahead and hit us up on Twitter at Willie Dills and at Justin R. Young. Willie, what do you got going on this week?
Lots and lots of golf, actually. Apparently, there's a professional golf event coming this way, so I'll be going to that on Friday, and then I'll be playing on Thursday and on Saturday. So a lot of that, and then I'm going to try to fit in a bunch of streaming in between. So come check me out on twitch.tv/WillieDills. At Willie Dills on Twitter, and maybe, just maybe, if it works out, if the service is good enough, I might try to stream a golf round. I think that might be kind of
fun. Oh, dude, so, yeah, no, you got to IRL a golf round. That'll be a blast. Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool. So I'm gonna see if I can make it work. It depends on what my service is like at the friggin' golf course that's right now right by my house.
Like, man, I'll
it
tell
doesn't
you what,
seem
you
great.
Should...
But it might be good enough.
You should totally do that, and you should do that for mediocre golf association stuff. That would
totally.
Be that'd yeah. be really really smart.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's the conversations had on a golf course need to be shared.
Yes. all right. You can find me right here on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Plans are in the works. And by the way, Willie, we have been. The tentative goal was to try and do Wrestle Kingdom at the end of the year, but there might be an event. There might be an event that we could deviate a little bit of our wrestle fun to. Have you heard the rumors of another New Japan event aside from Strong Style Evolved this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
You have heard these rumors?
Not like I've heard grumblings that they're going to be here again.
And they're going to be in America. And in fact, the rumblings that are rumbling about are that they might be at the Cow Palace.
Wow.
And if New Japan Pro Wrestling is at the Cow Palace in your hometown of San Francisco, adjacent to my current place of residence in Oakland, California, and all it took was to get Willie Dills a plane ticket and a ticket to the event out here, and I could do it for free or just have the money on the tickets, oh boy, that one would be hard to turn down. So we'll keep an eye on that. But until next time.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for listening to 1-900-WRESTLING. My name is Justin Robert Young. That is Willie Dills Gregory. Be dialing!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.